Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chua Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome to Divine Intervention. Podcasts tasting the very best of South African wine and occasionally straying into other forms of booze as well. Today we're going to try a pink bubbly, but before I introduce the wine, let's introduce the tasters to you. On the line from Cape Town, we have our food and wine guru, celebrity chef, Michael Oliphant. Michael, good evening and welcome.
John, thank you so much. Happy to be back with you.
Well, great to have you. And the good news is we have two good friends sitting in the Joburg studio with me. We have the chief sommelier from the Sogo Sun Group, Miguel Shan. Miguel, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, it used to be Southern Sun, now it's Sogo Sun.
Well said, yeah.
Okay, Miguel, great to have you here, and I'm sure we will benefit from your expertise, but we'll also benefit from the expertise of our other guest in the Joburg studio, Michael Tetelius, former head of the tourism body SATSA, about to head off to Canada and become a school kid again. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you again. Thank you.
Well, Michael, we are trying a 2009 Krona Vintage Rosé Cuvée Brut, which basically means it's a dry red, or rather rosé bubbly. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I mean, the Kronas are a family who are pioneers in a major way. You know, the NC, the old man, is the chap who really was quite using cold fermentation in the early days. Nicky started the night harvesting. And they weren't MCC pioneers, but certainly they're very well thought of. And the whole emphasis at the House of Krona is on vintage difference and quality. This is a Pinot Noir 60% Chardonnay 40%. Mix, which of course gives it that lovely sort of pinkish color, and they use only free run juice to make this wine. It's one that I really, really enjoy. It's got the most wonderful sort of bubbles whizzing up to the top, fine creamy mousse, and of course all those incredible flavors of the Pinot Noir, the cherries and the strawberries, and that lovely sort of squashed mushroom forest floor kind of taste coming in the back there. I think this is a great wine, lovely to drink on its own, and it's very good with food too.
Okay, well, before we go on to pairing this with food, I think we really should get Miguel's expert opinion. Miguel, is this something you would recommend to customers at Sogo Sun Hotel?
Definitely. It's Michael has said all the great things already about the wine itself, and it is certainly one of South Africa's most consistent rosé bubbly out there, and it's extremely food friendly. Either with food or without food, it is an exceptional glass to be enjoying any time of the day with friends.
Now, of course, Miguel, we have to call this Cap Classique.
Indeed.
Because we're not allowed to call it champagne.
Yep.
But does that mean it's a second rate
Absolutely
wine?
Absolutely not. Yes, Cap Classique is the term, or MCC is the term used in a South African context. And the quality is as good as any of the great bubbles made elsewhere in the world, and can rival some of the top French champagne as well. And consumers shouldn't feel that if it's local made, it's second rated. Not only it over delivers on the value, but it's really well for good judgment of quality there. So they need to be looked into the right way.
Michael Tetelius, are you enjoying the Krona 2009 Method Cap Classique Vintage Rosé Cuvée Brut?
I am indeed. In fact, it's always a surprise to taste a nice pink champagne, because I'm, I suppose, focused on the old one. The first pink champagne, the type you drink that I ever got to drink, was that Fifth Avenue Cold Dac. And that has a complete, that was not a very great product. This, on the other hand, is a fantastic product. You just take a sniff of it and you really want to get involved in it. It's got a nice three-dimensional smell to it. Mm. It just drags you in. And as you say, you could have this just on its own. Lunchtime,
yep.
Evening, summer, winter, fireplace in the rain, you know, misty weather. It's absolutely fantastic. This is great social drinking wine.
Well, it's nice to taste something that doesn't taste of a cold duck. But apart from duck, and I'm sure this would go very well with a rich duck. I remember, Michael, when you used to run Park's Restaurant in Cape Town, one of my favorite dishes, I even had it once for main course and dessert was the duck that you used to
make. Absolutely.
Just remind us of what that dish is and whether you think this or anything else would go well with this bubble.
Well, that was a confit duck. And we used to serve with a berry sauce and really just whatever berries we could get hold of. We used to, obviously in wintertime, pile it up in the deep freeze. But it was a very richly flavored sauce, and the duck breast and the whole leg, in fact, were confit and then just crisped up in the oven just before serving. A very, very popular dish. And of course, this wine would go perfectly with it. But then this wine would go with all sorts of things. I was watching a program last night, and they were making a smoked salmon cheesecake. And I just thought, this is the perfect match for that. And yes, you could take it into sort of chicken dishes as well with sort of mushroomy porcini type sauces. Pork, it would certainly go really well with the roast pork and nice crispy crackling and some apple sauce to go with it. It would tackle it happily.
Miguel?
Hi, I totally agree with what Michael have just said. It is extremely versatile as a wine. In fact, any good bubbly are extremely versatile with a broad variety of dishes. Firstly, because of the acid structure, it helps to cleanse the palate with every sip. And secondly, with that rosé from Cronet, what I'm thinking of is a lovely smoked trout. Think local produce, yes. Trout if you want to go for salmon. The color already gives you a cue about what type of food to go with it. But nevertheless, it's a type of wine from breakfast to bedtime.
So what sort of breakfast would you serve? I suppose one of the classics is scrambled egg and smoked salmon. That would go very nicely.
Absolutely.
Michael?
Yeah. Tertullus or Olivier?
Well, I'd go with the breakfast stuff. I might even try with the haddock with a nice creamy sauce.
Oh, yeah.
It would balance that quite neatly. I might even also try some game meat, some South African game meat. This is fantastic. This really goes with everything. I'm really enjoying this.
It's a beautiful structure to go with game dishes, with venison.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, the bottle that we're trying in Joburg isn't quite as cold as I would have liked because I had to rush to the studio with it, although it has been in a very cold car in a very cold Gauteng day. Ideally, what sort of temperature would you serve this sort of bubbly at?
I like to have them quite cold, sort of somewhere around about 8-ish, somewhere around about there. You know, it's very difficult if you're... I listened to a very sort of esoteric conversation once about how restaurants should serve white wines and bubblies at different temperatures. It's just simply not practical to do that. If you have a restaurant, you have a wine fridge and that's it. But I think to get it down somewhere around about 6 to 8 would be just perfect.
Miguel, just talk us through the logistics of not only bubbly, but white wine as well. A lot of customers, like me, do like their wines pretty chilled,
yep.
But there are others, and indeed the conventional wisdom seems to be that if you chill it too much, you chill out a lot of the flavor. How do you adapt to a customer's preference, keeping them happy, but also having to manage in a large restaurant quite a large flow of wine?
Well, the first thing is to always keep the customer happy. So if a customer wants to have their wine ice cold, which I would not normally recommend or suggest it to be served that way, simply because it will suppress all the flavors, if that's the way they enjoy it, we have to provide it. Ideally, we try to direct them into enjoying the wine slightly warmer, especially the white wine today. They are so full with flavors, and white wine or rosé that might have a bit of oak treatment to it does respond better with a slightly warmer temperature rather than it being served very, very cold. So it is a taste that's quite, yeah.
Now, of course, Michael, to tell you, I quite often throw a few ice cubes into a white wine, particularly on a hot day. But I suppose that isn't quite as practical with a bubbly, is it?
Well, considering that you'd probably take this for a picnic somewhere, ice cubes may be hard to get hold of. So but the good news is this would carry, even if you carried it in a picnic basket and it warmed up slightly, there's a slightly nicer zing to it. There's such a variety on this one, you'd be fine. Although I think ice cubes, a lot of people frown at you and think you're a bit of a savage for putting ice cubes in. Whatever works for you and whatever makes your drink pleasant
Absolutely.
To enjoy.
Couldn't agree more.
And Michael, back to the theme of bubblies. How are we doing in South Africa? We've heard from Miguel that we can hold our heads pretty high with our Cap Classique wines. But in terms of popularity, are there still the snobs who insist that if it isn't French, it isn't any good?
I think the most of the snobs are converted because they can't really afford champagne anymore. And really, as Miguel said, you know, I've tasted some French champagnes that just don't even come up to what we're producing here. And I mean the Corona Borealis and this lovely rosé are just wonderful wines and at good prices and really very satisfying stuff.
Okay, well, a final thought from our panel. Miguel Chan, Corona, or indeed any other quality South African bubbly, white or rosé, one shouldn't feel that you have to wait for a birthday or Valentine's Day to buy this sort of stuff.
Not at all. MCCs is first, the price are very good. If one look at it, MCCs are roughly one-third the price of champagne. The quality is as great, as high as any good bubbly. Therefore, it's for any celebration, any time, to be enjoyed and to be supported as well.
And do you make a special effort to make sure that in the restaurants in your hotel chain, you can get a glass of bubbly? You don't have to buy
absolutely. Every single restaurant and bars and lounges in any of Sogos and hotels have bubbly available by the glass, and it's always MCCs.
Michael, your views on that? Because obviously if you're driving, if maybe you're popping in for lunch and you've got a heavy afternoon of work ahead of you, you can't necessarily get through a whole bottle, but it is nice to be able to sample a glass of properly temperature controlled, properly stored bubbly
stuff. No, exactly. And I think the quality of this type of champagne bubbly, the MCC stuff, just goes back to making a drink that everyone can enjoy, including men. Mm. If you go back to old General Redvers Buller, who invaded South Africa in the Boer War, he brought with him 20 crates of champagne. It was a man's drink back then. Somehow it became a girly thing in the 50s and 60s, but it's back to where everyone can enjoy it. It's great taste, goes with everything, and makes a little sense of occasion out of a meal with friends. Fantastic.
Yeah. Final thoughts from you, Michael. We've tried a very impressive vintage rosé South African bubbly. Presumably, you will be an evangelist for this sort of wine, as well as everything else that we're producing.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Now, these guys are really doing amazing stuff. And, you know, the Corona family, I've known three generations of them. And really, they've got this incredible passion and just producing great stuff.
Well, many thanks to our guest today on Divine Intervention, to Miguel Chan from Sogo Sun, to former Satsa CEO Michael Titalius down in Cape Town, to Michael Olivier, our food and wine guru, and here in Joburg, many thanks for all his technical wisdom to our engineer for the day, although I'm sure he'll be joining us in tastings again very soon, Malcolm McDonald. This is John Fraser signing off from Divine Intervention.